We're continuing with the Jewish home. We're up to our second class. Last week we discussed about the home being the most beautiful thing that Hashem gave us. The home is where we will get our support, where we will have our most beautiful relationship, where we will have our connection, someone who we understands us, someone who shares life with us. And something so beautiful requires a lot of work. And that's basically, those were the two ideas we discussed last week. And now we go on to the third idea, which is the idea of giving. So what do you give? So you guys know the story. There's a famous cartoon of Charlie Brown. What's the girl's name, Charlie Brown? Lucy. So Charlie, what? Charlie gives Lucy on her birthday, he gives her a package. She opens up the package and she sees a baseball glove, and it's a lefty mitt. So she says, "Charlie Brown, but I'm a righty." So Charlie says, "Yeah, but I'm a lefty, and my birthday isn't far off." So very often in life, we give gifts like I'm a lefty. You know, we give what we would like to receive, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. If we come from different cultures, then what we say can sometimes be misunderstood very badly. There's a word, hurban. Hurban means destruction. There's a word, lecharbein, which means to defecate. I didn't know that when I came to Israel. So I used the word lecharbein, thinking it means to have a destruction. And people would look at me like, "What are you saying?" I didn't know. Okay? But coming, you know, I just figured you take the word churban, and lecharbein is the active form of churban. So much for grammar. There's a story of a guy who made aliyah, and he remembered, he learned in yeshiva that Azazel is when you go down the mountain. So Azazel is this mountain that you throw, it's a jagged cliff that you push the goat off of. Now, in modern Hebrew, when you tell someone Lech Azazel, it's like telling him go to perdition, right? Go like that thing off the cliff. So he used to live at the top of Arnof, and whenever people would stop him for directions, he'd say, "Go down the block, make a left, and Lech Azazel." You know? So the listener is like, "What did I say to you?" People would look at him like, "What did I do?" And he'd look at them like, "What do you want? I just told you to go too." Okay. So we very often give from our perspective. We don't understand the other person's perspective. But in marriage, one of the things we're going to be focused on in this class is to understand the other person's perspective. But let's begin with our perspective. What are we all looking for in marriage? So we'll leave intimacy for the classes when you guys are on the verge of getting married. So we have to discuss that really in the bedroom there's a difference between men and women. And the reason I mention this first is because the Talmud really says that this is first on the list. Maybe it shouldn't be, and we all are altruistic and we say marriage is about all kinds of beautiful things, and it is. But Chazal say normal people have normal desires. And the real drive that pushes people to get married is the idea that they want someone to be intimate with. Hashem created us that we are attracted to the opposite gender, and that's the way we should be. And that's a driving force before marriage, and it should be. And that's something which really, in this setting, it's not something we're going to cover. But there are differences there too. So leaving that big one aside, what else are we looking for in marriage? So we're looking for happiness. We're looking for understanding. We're looking for partnership. We're looking for a connection, a real relationship. We're looking to be understood. We're looking to have someone to share with. We're looking for a relationship we can count on. We're looking to love. We're looking to be loved. So, what are they looking for in marriage? Pretty much the same thing, right? But let's look at each one on their own. If we say we're looking for happiness in marriage, what is happiness? Happiness is a byproduct. Happiness is a byproduct of a productive life. If you're doing what's right, you're going to be happy. But there's more to it than that. All the points that we said are relatively easy when you're dating. Sure, you get to shower, take a nap, do everything before the date. You show up to the date, you have your 2 hours together, 4 hours, whatever it is, you go back home. What happens when you're married? You wake up the next morning, you didn't brush your teeth yet, and she's saying, could you put up that coffee for me? Honey, 1 second. What do you mean 1 second? I got to get to work. Hold it. Real life is dealing with real life pressures. What kind of nice guy am I when I don't have time or patience or I don't really care for this conversation right now? I have other things I want to do. I want to read the morning paper. I'm in the middle of reading my emails. She's talking to me and I'm trying to read my emails. Don't you understand I'm trying to get work done? Pause. What am I looking for in a marriage? What's my spouse looking for in a marriage? We're looking to be happy. Well, part of happiness is if I can show her I'm happy with her, show her I love her when I don't feel like it. When right now I have other things in my mind, there are other things I want to do. It's not easy. You know, it sounds easy. If you really love the person, so why wouldn't you be able to do it? And the answer is, because life is demanding. And when life is demanding, so then we don't feel like it. And that's, those are the moments when where we build our relationship. The relationship is built in those moments when you don't have the patience, you don't have the time, and you still have to think, how am I going to be really considerate of the other party? And the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what would I want in such a scenario? If she were reading her email and I just walked in from work and I wanted to share something with her, what would I want from her? If I had something I wanted to discuss with her in the morning and she wanted to read the paper, what would I want? So that's the simplest formula. Love them as you would want to be loved yourself. It's much more intricate in the marriage, as we will discuss. But step one is at least that. Yes, Uli.
One thing I'm seeing in secular culture that does incredible harm to youth, they say that, oh, like, you shouldn't talk to the woman too much, she shouldn't talk to you too much, you should go look for a career, that's what really matters. Men and women, they'll really get along, and the less talking to you, the better. And I see a lot of people that they think that women are only there for certain purposes. And they tell me, like, why would you care if you had this in common or that in common? It's destroying a lot of things that people fail to explanation. How would I get people like that to understand, like, where I'm coming from?
Doesn't Sam
freak
out not to talk so much
I think that these are points which will deserve classes on their own, and we'll get there. It's, we're building from the ground up. This is a new year, a new semester. We have to work our way up. So we're going from the simpler to the more complex, from the more understood to the less understood. But let's work with the things that seem obvious. Yes.
Every action we take is either about connection or estrangement. Especially with your spouse, whatever you choose to do at that particular moment, you're either choosing to connect or disconnect.
So I was going to get to that idea. I agree with that. I think that on some level, we are gauged with the following. You have to put the following sentence before what you say and do, and that is, do you love me? Meaning that's a question that repeats itself in marriage, but we'll get up to that. I want to see that from the verses. I want to explore that from seeing where the verses actually indicate this idea. So let's take one easy, simple message that everyone wants in a marriage. We want to receive it. Do we know how to give it? One message. You are the source of my happiness. Sounds simple, right? That's what you want to hear from your spouse. Can you give it to your spouse? Oh, it's very easy to think about the time when we're dating and we're walking on the seaside and there's a beautiful breeze and we have nothing pressing and looking into one another's eyes, thrilled that we're about to get married. Oh, no problem. You could give that message. But now flip the scene. You're at home. There are three kids wailing. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's sweltering heat. No air conditioning. You're not sure what job you're going to have 2 weeks from now. You just notified you're fired. This kid's throwing up, that kid's diaper's overflowing, the house is a mess, and there's no food left in the fridge. Now go tell her, you're the source of my happiness. Oh, but you could, and you should. What do you want at that moment? What you want is her to say, keep sleeping, I have it all under control, right? Okay, but we're in this together, we're building together. And this is an idea, this is an attitude that we have to develop. We have to prepare ourselves for this attitude. And how do you prepare? So that's something you can start now. Chazal say, "Heve mekabel et kol ha'adam besever panim yafot." To greet every person with warmth, with that feeling, I'm happy to see you. There was a, I don't remember, someone sent this to me. I think there were 10,000 responses to this ad. This was the heading of the ad. I am warm. I give a lot of love. All I want is to be held, and I will look lovingly into your eyes. I don't do too much. I sit lazily at home, but I just want to give love. I want to be held. I'm cuddly. I am friendly. My name is Bessie the dog. Now, I think 10,000 people responded to that. You'd think in marriage, I want a partner, I want someone who's going to do the dishes, I want someone who's going to bring up the kids, I want a lot of things. No, no, no. To a great extent, what we want is someone who wants to be loved and wants someone who can give love. What? At least we think we do. We think we do. We're going to explore during the course of the year how those things which pose the greatest challenges within the marriage are also the source of the greatest building within the marriage. They're both. But building is hard. We'll get there. But we have to know how to give what we also want to receive. We want that warmth. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he was a rabbi here in Jerusalem, and a student accompanied him home one day, and he sees him setting his tie as he's about to enter the house, and his suit, and everything's just right. And the student says, is there an important person waiting for you inside? Then I won't come in. So he says, yes, there's an important person. God is waiting for me because we are taught that God is present between a husband and his wife. So I'm about to come into my wife. I have to look respectable. You know, the Shekhinah is between us if we behave the way we should. So what do we give our spouse? She walks in from her hard day. I got home an hour ago. I'm busy on the computer. Do I stop? Do I close the screen? Do I turn to her, treat her like a human being? Or do I say, hi, honey, how's your day? Really? Wow. Gee, that sounds interesting. Yeah, supper's in the fridge. Yeah. You guys know those conversations? You probably had them, right? With your roommates, with the guy next to you. It's much easier with your wife to relegate her to that annoying buzz next to my ear as I'm trying to focus on this so important email. What do you want? The simplest formula we're beginning with, we will develop it, is what do you want? Would you want that treatment? And this is something we can work on today. Making someone else feel they are precious to us. Our parents, our siblings, our roommate. There are a lot of people. But it's a skill that people should develop. Most men are not good at being warm. They're not good at expressing affection. I used to tell chavrusas, it's so good to see you. And one chavrusa, after 2 years, stopped me and said, look, I gotta call a spade a spade. Every time you say that, I think you're a liar. Do you mean it when you say you're happy to see me? I said, yeah. I was completely shocked by what he said. Then I realized most men don't talk that way. I'm happy to see you. When does someone say I'm happy to see you? So people think you're faking, you're a liar. Are you really happy to see me? You're just saying that. No, I'm not. But we have to learn how to be able to give that warmth. And that's a skill we can start developing now. To show someone else, I'm happy with you. I'm happy being with you. You're a happy part of my life. Yes.
Well, an idea I wanted to introduce and get your opinion on is one day I was having like a rough week, you know, I'm like, man, I hate being single, it's really tough, and then I thought, like, wait a minute, this is like the ultimate tool. Because so many married people tell me, like, oh man, I'm miserable now, and man, I wish I was like, I, you know, not very well, like, well, please, really hard, not to be single, like, like, do you want to get married at that time? I mean, you got married at a certain point, you wanted to get married at some point, how badly did you want your wife then? And it all of a sudden hit me, like, maybe a tool you could use in marriage to a certain degree is remembering how miserable you were, like, not having anyone at all there. Like, you know, like, this one person, like, as miserable as you are being married right now, would you be more miserable single? I thought about that, like, yeah, I mean, yes, I would. And is that an appropriate tool to use? I mean, it's like reflecting, stopping to take time and say, I'm grateful I have this one here, even though it seems like, yeah, they're annoying sometimes, or, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I don't want to hear what they have to say. Is it appropriate to stop and think and say, like, yeah, I mean, I really am grateful to have them on?
There are multiple answers to that, so we'll take it step by step. The verse says in Psalms, in Tehillim, Elokim Mashiv Yechidim, Baita Motzi Asirim Bakosharot. God takes two single people, individuals, two bachelors, puts them together in a home. And he takes out people from bondage, Bakosharot, whatever that means. So one interpretation of that verse is that the bondage that really holds people together is the fear of loneliness. That what keeps people in a home is that realization that the alternative is worse. So let's paint the following picture. You come home, it's your 20th anniversary, you come with a beautiful cake and you tell your wife, you know, you mean so much to me, I'm so happy that we've had these 20 years together and you've been the strength of my life and the love of my life and the light of my life, and we've plowed through all the hardships of life together, and it's such a celebration, we've made it to this point. And she looks you in the eyes lovingly and says, you're so right, Uri, it would have been much worse off if I were alone. What would you think then? So you agree with me that using the formula we just said, and again, we're going to develop this to refine it. We began with the idea that we have to give what the other side wants to receive, not what we would like to get, right? But we're beginning by saying a simple formula. At least give what you would like to receive. You'll agree with me that you would not want to receive that answer. No one wants to be in a marriage where they know the other side is married to me because the alternative is worse, right? So, it's true that that's a tool which is a useful tool. It's true that that's a part of a person's psyche. But it's also true that we want to evolve to a better stage of relationship. The two aren't mutually exclusive. It could be the better stage is built on this stage. But we do want to evolve to a point where the other person is, as we discussed earlier in the Tomer Dvorah, Sheirit Nachlato, they're an extension of me, they're a part of me. I couldn't imagine life without them. It's not just that I don't want to be alone and being alone is terrible. It's that I'm lucky to have them and they are the greatest gift God gave me. We have to work to get there. Most often we have it, we just don't see it. Meaning, I've been given the gift. I don't see the gift that's in her. The fault is in our approach. So, we began with happiness. Hashem created the relationship between men and women in the following manner. It says, "Ve'el ishech teshukatech." A woman has a certain desire for her husband that is different than a man's for a woman. How so? Watch a man when he's leaving the house. His wife will always have one more thing she wants to ask him. Doesn't matter that he's late, he has to catch a bus, or in a phone conversation. There's always one more thing she wanted to say. And it's as though sometimes she'll even say, Baruch, one more thing, and he stops, and she doesn't even know what she wants of him. What she wants, really, is that he shouldn't leave. Ve'elishech teshukatech. Hashem created the relationship in a way that the nature of a man is ufarasta kenafecha. He wants to sort of spread his cape over her, and she wants to have a cape spread over her. She might be the one in high tech earning a mint. He might be the one who's, he's still doing research, and one day he might find the cure for cancer, but so far they're paying him 20 shekel an hour. So could be that right now that's where they're both holding. Doesn't matter. In the relationship, Hashem created us that we have different needs. He wants to feel like he's taking care of her. She wants to feel like someone wants to take care of her. A woman is never satiated. She never feels like you told me enough times you love me. You will never fill that need, and that's because we both have a matching need. A man has a need to express it. A woman has a need to hear it. That's not to say that men don't need to hear it too. We also need to hear it. But there's a driving need in both of us. There's the famous story about the couple that comes to ask for a divorce, and the wife, first one I'll tell you is a true story. I know the judge who this came before. He sat with a couple and they were filing for divorce, and he asked the wife, why do you want a divorce? So the wife said, he never tells me he loves me. So he turned to the husband and he said, is that true? So the husband says, I don't know what she wants from my life. I told her the first day we got married that I love her, and if there would ever been a change, I would have let her know. True story. He says, why did you think it changed? I didn't. You guys are laughing, but all of us have the potential to do that on some level. Didn't I tell you already I loved you? I told you the day before. Men have to work on their capacity to express warmth. Us men are a little bit delinquent. We're not exactly skilled at this. And it's a skill that we have to develop. Women need to hear it, and you could never say it enough. And men are very weak at it. Tell, I'll fix your camera, I'll fix your computer, I'll fix your car, I'll fill the gas. Tell me what to do. You want me to say? That's very difficult. But women have to hear. And that's the first complicated point in this idea that we're discussing, that giving has to be based on what the other side has to receive, not only on what I know how to give or what's most natural for me to give. To be continued, Bezalel.